Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Ready for today's game with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
A complete look around the NFL and especially our Falcons.
Let's go out there and compete. Let's focus in on what our job is and do our job.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show, brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer.
This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
On the home for our Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Andy Bunker and Joe Patrick.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. Wade Ford Tailgate Show here on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game. Andy Bunker, Smoking Joe Patrick with you for the next 2 hours. Getting you ready for the Falcons and the Cardinals this afternoon from Glendale, Arizona. State Farm Stadium. The biggest indoor facility I've ever been in my life.
Is that right? You've been there, huh?
It is an outrageous stadium. It feels like you're in a spaceship.
What were you there for?
I was there for a couple different things. I've been to a couple of Seahawks-Cardinals games back in the day.
Oh, of course.
Made the trip down to go check those out. And then we saw a college football playoff game there as
I was going to say, I feel like that stadium is maybe most famous for all the college football that it's hosted over the years. I know for as an Ohio State fan, it's kind of like a home away from home for a lot of Ohio State fans who, one, flock away from the Midwest temperatures and go for Florida and Arizona.
Good time of year to be
in
Arizona.
They also play in plenty of bowl games down there.
Also, a really weird distinction that people probably know this, but if you don't, it is an indoor stadium. It's a dome, but they have grass.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a track where they roll the grass
against
out into the sun.
Against all odds.
And then
they
roll
it
in. They said it couldn't be done. They built like a train track so they can roll the grass outside and then roll it back in.
It's amazing what
which
they can do.
Might be sense. There's a lot of different peaks of American sports opulence. That's one of them.
Right, yeah. Well, what's crazy, that was kind of version one of the grass in some of these indoor stadiums. Now what they do is they have these dome stadiums or retractable roofs, and they build it so that the grass can be there. It's on platforms and they get wheeled underneath the seating, and where there's grow lights and stuff, where they just literally grow it and then they wheel it back out into place for ready for a game.
Yep. And there's going to be two football teams playing on that grass today,
right,
too. And neither one of them are going to the playoffs, unfortunately. I don't really care if the Cardinals are going to the playoffs, but unfortunately, the Falcons aren't. We know what the deal is with where their season is right now, 5-9, hoping to finish strong. And an impressive performance on Thursday night to get the win. Obviously, there was a lot of things involved in that game that were frustrating, including the 22 penalties, 19 of them that were accepted. They had more points than the Bucs did at the end of the game and got a chance to play a little spoiler a little bit for the Bucs. Now, the Bucs and the Panthers are tied at 7-7 atop the NFC South, and they play each other twice in the next 3 weeks. So they each have an opportunity to settle that on the field. But it was just fun to be entertained by a Falcons game on Thursday night, honestly.
Ultimately, I mean, you when you watch sports in general as a fan, like, you just kind of want to be proud of the team that you support. Like, you know, sometimes, oftentimes it's, you know, them winning a game. Sometimes if your team really stinks, it can be a valiant loss or something like that. But you just don't want to walk away feeling frustrated and, like, upset by the showing that they put on. And it did feel that way for Falcons fans, I think, for a good portion of that game because of what you mentioned, the penalties. It just kind of made them look bad, look kind of disorganized and not sure what to do. But then they come together and have that amazing fourth quarter comeback where they were down by two scores. So credit to them. And yeah, I think it just made everybody feel a little bit better about what's going on. I'm sure it didn't, you know, change some opinions of what people want to see happen during the course of the offseason. I think rightly so. You know, like, just like you wouldn't want to say, like, we should fire the coach after one bad loss in a string of wins, like, you wouldn't also just, like, maybe change course completely after one win, you know, to break what, having lost seven of their last eight. But certainly you want to see this team go through this final stretch run and hopefully have something to build upon going forward.
Yeah, look, I mean, the big picture of the season is pretty well settled. And what we talked about just a few minutes ago, you're not going to the playoffs. It's the eighth year in a row. The quarterback is injured, and it's frustrating. It's okay still to enjoy the week to week, and it was enjoyable to get that win, and hopefully they can get a win today as well in Arizona. But yeah, I mean, it shouldn't, in my opinion, change any of the decisions that need to be made at the end of the season. You know, I think that stuff is decided over the course of months and seasons rather than quarters and games. But I don't know that to be true because I've covered this team for long enough to remember a 1-7 team finishing strong and that being enough to retain everybody. So I don't know.
Who were then ultimately just dispensed of, you know, shortly
exactly.
there later
who
on.
Then started 0-5 the next year, and then they, you know, so we know what it is.
So it doesn't really matter, like, what the results are necessarily throughout these last three games, in my opinion, throughout these last three games, and then extrapolating from that, what you should then do going forward. Like, that's not why these matter. These matter for kind of different, I think, kind of passionate things for us as fans, just to want to see the team win. But once the season concludes, like has been reported, by the way, in national media, that is when the decisions will be made, where you take everything into account, the good and the bad, and then you make the best decisions for the team based off of that.
How much do you think that the final, and call it four, because we'll say what happened on Thursday night too, the final four games of the season will weigh into that decision?
I mean, it will weigh into it, I'm sure. But
can't, like,
I mean, and it's like, yeah. I mean, I can't say exactly, you know, because I'm not in those rooms. I don't know the thinking of the. But for me, if it were me, if it were me. To me, what matters is when you're actually in contention. Like, when you're in contention and you're looking at your season objectives in front of you and you fail to, you know, meet the standard that allows you to achieve those objectives. And so that, to me, is where you should, the vast majority of the basis of the decisions that you're making should be grounded in. But we'll see. You know, we'll see what happens. And there will definitely – the one thing I can assure any Falcons fan is that there are going to be changes that are made, and that has already been reported. Like, you know, whatever is the future of Raheem Morris or Terry Fontenot, obviously those two figures are important for obvious reasons as the head coach and general manager and the executive function that they serve, a football team. But there's going to be – some sort of shakeup within the football operation that will hopefully optimize the processes and allow for success in the future.
What do you mean? I think potentially
there's been, I can't remember if it was Ian Rappaport, because there's been a few reporters on this who have kind of just, like, said various things, but, you know, wouldn't be like we saw with Arthur Smith when he was fired. Uh-huh. There was, like, you know, some organizational shakeup. Now, you can definitely argue whether, you know, some of that organizational change actually impacted anything. And if that were to happen after this season as well, like, that question would still stand validly. But I think that, you know, there will be something that happens. They can't just go through a failure of a season like this has already been, because, like, they have not made the playoffs. They have not achieved their objectives. So you can't just have that failure and then just kind of roll everything forward and just continue as is. And I think they understand that.
Yeah. I mean, look, at the very least, you've got some coordinator changes that
for
are
sure.
likely to
right.
happen.
Right.
I mean, the special teams has been the the probably the most glaring issue throughout the totality of the season. And, you know, we always talk, when we talk about that, we tend to mean like coverage, right? Like the punt returners and punt coverage and kick returners and kick coverage. The field goal kicker and punter are also a part of that also. Mm-hmm. And you're on your third kicker, and the first game of the season, that became a glaring issue. Now you've since lost games because of coverage and turnovers on special teams and all of that. So clearly that's something that's going to have to change. And I would be surprised if things from a much bigger standpoint don't change also, but we'll see. And maybe these guys have an opportunity. Certainly some of the guys that are either at the end of contracts or with contracts coming up, have an opportunity to make an impression on this group or whoever's next. Pitts had the game of his life on Thursday night. And, you know, it's so tough when you get to a point of a season where even really good stuff can frustrate, because that's what that did for a lot of folks on Thursday night. Sure. Was, well, where has that been?
I'd say the same for Zach Robinson as well. Yeah. Like the way he was able to orchestrate that offense and call the plays that were able to get Kyle Pitts the ball in the positions that he was, and to be able to design an offensive game plan around Kirk Cousins that obviously needs something different than what Michael Penix has given. It was great, you know, to be able to overcome all of the you know, comedy of errors in terms of all the penalties that you talked about earlier.
It was great to watch.
Yeah,
it was really fun to watch. Yeah. It was
effective.
Like,
it was sharp.
How many different ways are they going to get the ball in Kyle Pitts' hands, and what's he going to do when he gets the ball in his hands? Yeah. And I mean, 11 catches, 166 yards, 3 touchdowns. I mean, a historic performance for a tight end. Tight end hadn't had a day like that since Shannon Sharpe in 1996.
Yeah.
Like that's nuts. That's what you're talking about. And again, it goes back to, that's what they saw in him. That's why he was the 4th overall pick. That's why every summer we talk ourselves into, okay, the conditions are perfect this year for Kyle Pitts to break out and look like the guy that we know that he can be. And yet it hasn't happened. Even with all of the kind of the ups and downs that this season has brought him, he's a couple good games away from getting to 1,000 yards.
Absolutely. I mean, his numbers right now are among the top 4 in the NFL tight ends.
I think top
maybe two,
two.
Top two, yeah. Just behind the guy that they're going to be playing today.
Exactly.
Trey McBride
and Kyle Pitts are the two most productive tight ends in the NFL this year.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's exactly what Falcons fans were asking for coming into the season. You know, I was thinking about this on my ride in, Andy. It's something I've obviously been thinking about for the last few weeks, which was, you know, like heading into the season, what do you want to see improvements of that you thought was going to lead this team to success? The improved pass rush and the defense in general. Kyle Pitts kind of getting back to the production that we know he could be. Like, so many of these things have actually happened, and
there's
somehow we're still here.
There's so many little individual accolades that are going to take place, like big picture stat stuff when the season's over, that if we always say this, if you would have told me this, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Bijan Robinson is like killing
Bijan Robinson's
you know?
Going to lead the league in all-purpose yards.
Yeah, okay? Yeah.
There's a decent chance. Is Drake London, what do we?
He's trending towards playing today.
But if he has a good finish to the year, he can get to 1,000 yards also, which is crazy because he's missed 5 games.
Right.
He's got 800 yards receiving and he's missed 5 games already.
Yeah.
But like, it's not crazy to think that Bijan could lead the NFL in all-purpose yards offense. Drake London and Kyle Pitts could have 1,000 yards receiving, and the Falcons could be top 2 in the NFL in sacks.
In sacks, right.
And if all that stuff, like, just give me that information back in August. They're like, all right, I'm calling my buddy here and putting some money down.
Yeah, 10-4 heading
into
this
like,
game.
Oh, this is going to be fun. No, but of course not. And we know why. It's not because of those specific things. It's because, you know, there was a lot of other things that were so bad that they couldn't overcome it. I didn't know that the special teams was going to be the worst that we've ever seen that this team have. Randy always tells the story of when he played for the Chargers, and they were number 1 in offense, number 1 in defense, and 34th in special teams. Because he can't obviously be. They missed the playoffs. They're the best offense, best defense in the NFL, but the special teams could not help them.
Yeah.
This isn't that, obviously. But that's part of it.
I mean, for sure.
If the Falcons just had an average special teams, they'd still be in contention right now.
They've just set themselves up where they have no margin for error in some of these games, and the game has ultimately come down to the slightest margin. You know, you could say in several games this year, it's
all
been decided by,
well,
you know,
a lot of
a missed kick here or there, something very small, and that's what's held this team out of the playoff contention.
Well, and that was the thing that was so surprising about Thursday night was it finally was one of those last minute things that broke their way. Even not getting either of the 2-point conversions.
Going
for it early, not getting it, having to do it a second time, not getting it, and then still somehow getting the ball back, driving into field goal range, and making the field goal. Like, that
despite
happen.
Being down to 3rd and 28 on that final drive, and they were still able to convert. I mean,
yep.
Crazy.
I know. It's crazy. It's been a wild year.
Nothing makes sense.
No, none of it does. all that stuff that you spell out doesn't make any sense. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk a bit about the quarterback, Kirk Cousins, who will be playing today. He had a pretty cool moment earlier this week when he just showed everyone how smart he is and how good he's going to be at TV. And then there was some other commentary about the future as well, which is pretty interesting. So yeah. We'll get into some of that stuff as we get you ready for the Falcons and the Cardinals here on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having 4 kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Go Falcons.
Back to Andy Bunker and Joe Patrick and the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Wade Ford Tailgate Show brought to you by Baron Burton's W Sauce. We can't control the score, but you can still bring home the W. W Sauce is your ticket to next level flavors on game day. Pick up a bottle today and bring home the W. Andy Bunker and Smokin' Joe Patrick here with you on a Sunday afternoon, leading you into the Falcons Network pregame show at 2 o'clock. Falcons and Cardinals just after 4 in Arizona with Wes and Dave. And go check out, I think Wes had it on Twitter earlier, Wes Durham, how to sync up the audio. You want to sync up the audio game to the radio station. You can get the local call. I don't know who's on the call on TV today.
I can't imagine it's one of the top
teams. Not going to be a good one. I'll tell you that. It's not going
to
be a good one.
So you want to be listening to Wes and Dave for sure. Whatever, especially because they're like the best in the business.
Whatever the – I mean, obviously. I'll listen to those guys over anybody.
They're great.
Just really fun to listen to.
It's so funny. Like even
so it's on Fox, and so – I mean, Jaguars Broncos is also on Fox, but that's a good one actually. That's 10-4 and 12-2. I don't know. Who Vilma? We got Vilma again or something like that.
Hope not. Hope not. It's funny though. Like in the midst of this, you know, very frustrating Falcon season and some miserable games that we've had to sit through. I'll get a text from my dad. Wes and Dave are really the best.
They really are. No, we're spoiled. We're really flat out spoiled in Atlanta because Steve Holman is so much fun to listen to call Hawks games. And he's been doing it forever. Which, by the way, you can listen to that on V103 today. The Hawks have an early tip-off today at 3:30 against the Bulls. That'll be on V103 because the Falcons obviously play at 4, mm-hmm. and that'll be here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But yeah, no, we're so lucky locally. The college broadcasters are all really good. All the pro broadcasters are really good. Yeah. Mike and Jason, obviously, with Atlanta United. Oh, like
best in the league.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Who'd you say is doing it today? The Fox game?
Jason Benetti, who I actually like. Okay. I think Jason Benetti is a really good play-by-play guy. And then Brady Quinn, who's just going to whine about college football the whole
right?
time. Like, that's all he's going to do. If you want to listen to a guy talk about Notre Dame getting the short end of the stick on an NFL broadcast
right,
today,
right.
tune in to the Fox broadcast of the Falcons and Cardinals game. Yeah, no, just another great reason to get your radio synced up to 92.9 The Game so you can get that thing on there. Goodness gracious. I do like Jason Benetti, though. I will say he does a nice job.
That's the thing is sometimes in these kind of the lower tier broadcaster games, you get like the up and coming play by play guy who's actually like really good, but
yeah.
he just doesn't kind of have the seniority yet.
Yeah. Or not. Or you get the very
or you get the
very old play by play guy
who
I guess they just for whatever reason want to keep around.
Pat him on the head.
And he's working with whatever. Like it's tough, man. And again, that's where we're at. That's where we're at with the Falcons. I mean, for so long, we've sort of made fun of or complained about Jonathan Vilma being on the game. Or earlier this year, it was Drew Brees being on the Saints-Falcons game. Like, if you don't want those broadcasters, win. Because those are the down the depth chart broadcasters for Fox and CBS.
Yeah.
You know, you get...
I would also say...
Last night, you got Tom Brady calling that primetime game, which... You know, some people could take or leave. I think he's gotten much better, personally.
On the Amazon broadcasts, Al.
Yeah.
Al, what are we doing? What are we doing, Al?
I don't know either.
It's not good.
Yeah. I mean, I just think, for me, with guys like that, it's nice to still hear them, you know?
It is.
It's like a friendly voice.
The voice, yeah.
It's like a phone call with your grandpa, you know?
When Zane Gonzalez made the game-winning kick for the Falcons, that game, it was like... What's going on?
Somewhere in Charlotte.
Yeah.
There's a few people celebrating.
Right,
hang on,
right.
Do you know the game's over right now?
Yeah.
No, I know.
The game winning call was about Panthers fans.
That's right. And like Kirk Herbstreit finally doesn't have to like help Lee Corso through those broadcasts anymore.
Yeah.
Now he's on to Al Michaels. So he's first in it. He knows how to help the old guy get
that's
it
right.
home.
That's right.
Anyway, that's a long way of saying program your TV to sync up with the radio today so you can listen to the local broadcast of the Falcons and Cardinals because Wes and Dave do a fantastic job. All right. So a lot has been discussed this week, of course. Sounds like Drake London's going to be able to play today. If we get any info on that while we're on the air, we'll obviously let you know. I know the network guys, the network pregame show will most likely have that info and they'll pass it along to you when they have it. But one of the conversations that came up, and I'll be honest, I didn't even think of this as a possibility until it was said, was what Raheem Morris says here when asked about Kirk Cousins' future.
You know, everything is on the table. You know, obviously, we all sit down at the end of the season and we'll have all those discussions. We'll talk about all those things, and that is certainly be a part of it. You know, like when we went down the journey of Kirk Cousins, we planned on, you know, the amount of years that we put in this contract, and hopefully we were able to potentially get more. So we'll see where that goes and all those type of things. But, you know, it's definitely up for discussion. Once we get to the end of the season, we know we'll get Mike back next year, but that'll definitely be up for discussion.
Let me just say first, before we dive into any any of the details there, that's just what you say. Like
right,
that's what
exactly.
you have to say.
Yeah.
I mean, he that is the answer of a coach who is currently coaching the team and the quarterback who is currently under contract playing for the team. Any other answer would have been surprising. So that's what he's going to say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously there's details in that which lead a lot of Falcons fans to be like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who's going to be sitting down at the table at the end of the season?
Mm-hmm.
How many years are you counting on him being here? Are either of you going to be here? And then whenever anyone with the Falcons right now says the word plan, that's a little triggering for me.
Right.
Because what do you mean plan? Your guys' plan was that Michael Penix would have never even played yet.
Right,
so
right.
That let's was, not, yeah, that was the you plan. Know, let's not be too beholden to plans, because right. That was a bad one from the beginning, and obviously it's gone sideways in every possible way. But yeah, I mean, that look, that's what you say. I didn't entertain the possibility until I heard that of like, oh yeah, I mean, I guess that could happen. Like,
well, yeah,
Raheem could be coaching Kirk Cousins next year for the Atlanta Falcons. I don't think it will, yeah. But I mean, they're both under contract, so.
Yeah. That's the thing, is like, yeah, I mean, he technically is under contract, but it feels like he's not because of the financials involved in the contract itself. And
even he acknowledged that.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, when we were talking to him in that press conference that went viral because he gave a great breakdown of, like, how quarterback play has changed over the last several years, but even in earlier in that press conference, we're talking about kind of the future and kind of like what these games are setting up for and stuff. And we're all kind of having this conversation as if it's a contract year basically for him. And to the point where I forget which journalist said, it's not technically a contract year for you though, because you know, you are still under contract. He's like, yeah, but I've been through this and I kind of get how it works, and it kind of is. And so even he is kind of the understanding that this is a kind of make or break situation.
Even when they signed him and we got the details of it, I don't know if you told the story.
I did.
You told the story of kind of him and his agent being kind of wink, wink, like, yeah, hopefully in 2 years we'll be back here negotiating the future.
Yeah,
right?
It was in a news report, I believe, on CBS Sports, I want to say. But yeah, that there was a story in that Kirk's agent and Terry Fontenot shook hands in the Flowery Branch parking lot after he signed the deal and said, we'll see you back here in 2 years, because that was at the point in which they were going to have to renegotiate that deal.
Yeah.
And then with the idea that at that point of it being extended, well, they want to keep
that's the plan.
Well, currently, even Raheem says now they plan to have him for the length of the contract plus potentially more. That would be four years plus more.
5 years.
So, yeah.
I know. Whatever. Who cares? We'll do it.
The only way Kirk could, I think, you know, realistically stay here is by renegoating a contract.
Yeah, and there's only one way that happens, which we'll get to in 1 second.
Okay.
Yeah. I was just gonna say. Like, even if the plan worked, it was a bad plan, because you took a top 10 quarterback and didn't play him. Like, mm-hmm. that would have been the plan, mm-hmm. right? Like, even if Kirk Cousins had played great, and I mean, you would obviously give them grace because they would have made the playoffs and who knows what beyond that. So that part of it not going how they hoped it would, or that part of it ending up sort of being a wasted draft pick or something like that, you could kind of stomach because the other part of it worked. Now, obviously, that's not the way that it went, but that was always the issue that I had with it from Jump Street was, now hang on a second, you're telling me that best case scenario, you just spent the number 8 pick on a guy, or 9 pick or whatever it is, on a guy that you don't anticipate playing until his fourth year?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you guys think you're a lot better than you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what we said then. Turned out we were really right when we said that. But yeah, I mean, to me, that's the biggest failing of all, is it's not the individual mistakes that they made. It's how incorrect Fontenot and Raheem and the decision makers were about what they had.
Exactly. Yeah.
They were so sure that what they had was a winner, that they could do kind of this unconventional stuff and it would be okay, because you can win your way out of anything in the NFL, in sports in general. But they were, I mean, just so incorrect about that.
And that for me is what gets back to what we were talking about in the first segment about, you know, potential, the futures of Raheem and Terry, and how much these last three games impact that. And to me, like, they should be judged on what was the vision for this team, and was it the kind of correct vision to have based on, you know, the evidence that was around them, and then did you fulfill that vision? And to me, I think you can, you know, make credible arguments like you're making about, was the vision itself correct at all? And clearly, you know, they have not been able to fulfill that vision that they put forward a couple years ago with, you know, two straight, you know, consecutive losing seasons. So that to me is kind of the crux of where the judgment should be made, and not, again, like you kind of point to individual players on the roster or whatever, but like these individual games, that's where that matters so much less than what was the cohesive plan for this team going forward.
Yeah, and again, like, I'm not trying to say that one instance or one decision or one game or anything like that is any less important than others. You have to sort of take a pause, zoom out at times, and look at things from a big picture. And I mean, you're allowed to make mistakes as a general manager.
Yeah.
You're going to make mistakes as a general manager and as a coach and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to make sure that you make up for it in places that matter more. And you have to be right more often than you're wrong, or right at the right spots.
Like, right,
you could
exactly
be wrong a lot,
exactly,
but if you get the quarterback right and a dynamic playmaker somewhere else, or great pass rusher or something like that, then you can miss a bunch of second and third and fourth round draft picks and get away with it. Problem is, they've done that and not gotten the quarterback position right, and that's why we're where we are.
Yeah, and I, you know, one of the popular ways to kind of judge a GM and Terry Fontenot specifically is to kind of go through the draft record and see, like, okay, what are the hits and what are the misses? And clearly there have been misses, but also there have clearly been hits in, you know, certain positions that are even not even like the top picks, which we all understand that, you know, you expect to hit on you know, these top half of the first round draft picks. But the Brandon Dorlases, the Zach Harrisons, like, there have been hits, but you haven't really gotten like the hits where you've needed them on the roster to be able to ultimately cover flaws. And obviously, like you mentioned, quarterback and the decisions made there are the most important.
Yeah, I mean, this is the fifth year of Terry Fontenot. If he gets a sixth, it'll be a different quarterback likely starting week one. And that'll be every year. Every year he's been the GM, there's been a different quarterback starting week one. Now, Penix hopefully will be the starter the majority of the games next year. And he might be the starter week one also. Who knows about his recovery?
Yeah.
A pretty good chance it's going to be another different bridge guy. And it's Matt Ryan, Marcus Mariota, Desmond Ridder, Kirk Cousins, Michael Penix.
Oh, I thought you were saying Matt Ryan is like what a
going to oh, we're going to start back over.
He's going to be in that bridge quarterback guy. Yeah, yeah.
Now, there were some rumors about that, yeah, but he shut that down pretty clearly this week.
The great irony is that you're going to need someone like Kirk Cousins,
I know,
but it's just not going to be Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Like, it can't be because of the contract situation.
Yeah, it can't be. But like, what you need is a veteran quarterback on a reasonable deal, which is what he'll be for someone else.
Right, exactly.
Kirk Cousins will sign with the Vikings probably
this
offseason.
The Falcons is just the one team he can't be that guy
for. $8 million.
Yeah,
no, he just came, nice little two-year trip down here to pick up his 100 mil, win 9 games so far.
It's a good gig if you can get it.
It's the best gig. But you can't get it. No one can. No one can get it. All right. We'll come back. We'll keep getting you ready for the Falcons and the Cardinals today at 4 o'clock. We'll look around some of the other games coming up this afternoon, but then also there was some pretty good ones yesterday too, man. That late game last night was insane. I don't know if you stayed up for it. Hopefully you did. But if not, we'll get into what the Bears were able to do late last night as well. Thanks for being with us on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Go Falcons.
Back to Andy Bunker and Joe Patrick and the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show with Andy Bunker and Smoking Joe Patrick here on a Sunday afternoon, getting you ready for the Falcons and the Cardinals just after 4 o'clock here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Wade Ford Tailgate Show brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. And we'll look around some of the other games in the NFL, both from last night and later on today as this segment goes on. Mike Johnson, who's here for the network pregame show, has popped his head in and reminded us that Brady Quinn took over at Fox when Mark Sanchez had to go away.
Had to go to the backup quarterback.
Yeah, he's on the injured list.
He's on the injured reserve.
Well, also jail. Wasn't he in jail?
That's the commissioner's list, I think, is
pretty tough to like get stabbed and arrested. You know what I mean? Like,
and like validly stabbed. Like you were like accosting.
Deserved to be stabbed and then also arrested in the same.
Allegedly.
And obviously lost your job. I don't know. Maybe did Mark Sanchez or Sharon Moore have a worse football season?
Oof.
I'm not sure. Not sure. I think probably Sharon. Probably Sharon. But both pretty bad. Not where you want to be.
Was there organ damage to Sanchez?
Not sure.
I don't know. This could be some big medical
like
bills.
But he gets stabbed three times.
Sharon Moore kind of fumbled a ton of money in that whole deal.
And then he kind of almost stabbed himself.
Yeah, that's right. That's
with
right.
With the butter knife. Yikes. Not good. Not good. Not good. Who's going to get that job, by the way? I know you're...
Hopefully someone bad.
Yeah, from your perspective as an Ohio State fan. Yeah, but what do you care? You guys are so damn good.
I feel like they're going to go with some prestigious, maybe former NFL name. That's kind of the way I think. And
John Gruden?
And to be like a big CEO type. That's kind of like a Gruden. Could Pete Carroll? I don't think Pete Carroll would do it. He wouldn't move somewhere that cold,
I don't think. That'd be wild.
But like kind of along the lines of like kind of what UNC and Bill Belichick did. And obviously that's got its own different dynamics going on. But I could kind of see something like that, because that's how Michigan sees themselves. They see themselves as this big program that is kind of the leaders and the best and all that crap.
Yeah. Well, that's why some of the names that came up for that job in the cycle to me were like, well, that's not Michigan.
Yeah.
Michigan views themselves as so highbrow. You have to be a Michigan man.
They are to football what, in my opinion, Duke is in basketball, but not nearly as good.
Yeah, not nearly as good. Although they are good, though.
Okay.
They won a national championship 2 years ago. You know what I mean? And you guys won it last year, so you're good.
Yeah, they won that national championship.
By cheating their asses off.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah,
that's
and they should strip them of it. And I don't remember who they played in the game. The championship game. I don't remember who that opponent was, but they should name them national champions.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right. Oh, I think it was Washington.
It was the Washington Huskies. The Michael Penix led.
Yeah, that's
Washington
right.
Huskies.
That's right.
The mythical national champions.
Speaking of Bill Belichick, there was a report that there's still interest from NFL teams in him, and one of those teams was named the Atlanta Falcons. Mm-hmm. Do you buy that at all?
No, not really. Not with all this drama that he's got. If the girlfriend were out of the situation, I would think that there probably would be some interest, because But, like, it's just too much of, like, a PR hit. Like, you would be a meme. Like, any team that hires him is going to be memed to death. And if there's anything, like, Falcons need to kind of change the narrative around.
I was going
to
say, if there's one team that's tired of being memed.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I don't see it personally. I've actually seen the theory that that's, like, the Falcons linking themselves to Raheem or to Bill Belichick is just smoke cover to then bring Raheem Morris back because that as being a similarly kind of
right
unfavorable
the thing that
decision.
That PR thing that companies do sometimes where they throw out the really really bad idea
exactly.
to make people like wow you're crazy and then like the kind of bad idea is much more palatable
exactly.
afterwards
yeah
that's an interesting theory. I added that like if it is possible at all and I don't think that they would do that. I think if they were going to hire Bill Belichick. They would have hired Bill Belichick 2 years ago. But say that that process played out in like a committee fashion, right? Mm-hmm. Like that there's a panel of people that get to weigh in on who the next Falcons head coach should be, which it seems like there probably is, right? Obviously, Arthur Blank is the one that ultimately makes the decision, but
yep.
there's other folks in the brain trust that get to be involved in those conversations. You know, say there's, I don't know how many people would, seven people or whatever that are on that panel, and two of them really, really wanted Belichick, and then the other five didn't and talked him out of it and didn't want it and all that. Well, the other five advocated for what this has been,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
Which isn't great and probably going to end and all that. If I'm one of those other two people that got outvoted, I'm like, hey, guys, my guy's still available. My option's still out there.
But what I wonder is, again, this is just obviously purely hypothetical situation we're just having fun with, but if that were the situation, would those two people still have their hand up for Bill Belichick in this case? Or would their opinion be changed off of what they've seen happen since then?
I think that if you thought he could be a good NFL head coach 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
that what's happened since then shouldn't change that, right? Like, yes, he's dating a younger person who's a
because that was not public at the time.
He's dating an adult cheerleader.
This happened.
And he goes to adult cheerleading competitions.
Yeah, that is true. That's a factually true statement.
And one of them was actually in Atlanta recently, so he was here for that. But yes, that is true. He is involved in a relationship with an adult cheerleader. Not for a team, just like recreational adult cheerleading. Which, you know, I didn't realize really was happening out there, but it is happening out there, and he's going to him.
And social media savant, apparently.
Yeah, right.
as most professional cheerleaders, recreational cheerleaders are. You know,
definitely.
The self-promoting type.
She's doing great. Like, we know who she is. You know what I mean? Like, say what you want to say about her. She's got access to that guy's bank accounts, and there's plenty in there.
Yeah.
And she's probably having Christmas on Nantucket. So
right.
Talk your trash, but Jordan Hudson's having a pretty good year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Better than Mark Sanchez. But, okay, what happened at North Carolina has happened. Obviously, it's not been good. But I don't know. That's why the team names that came up in that report made sense to me, because the Giants and Bill Belichick have history going back 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's been there. The Falcons one doesn't really make sense because there's no history there, other than maybe there's people decision-maker-wise that liked him,
mm-hmm.
which clearly there is. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gotten as far along the process as he did 2 years ago. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen. But
yeah, the thing I have question about, well, lots of questions, obviously, about Bill Belichick and, you know, kind of how good he would be as an NFL head coach. But, you know, I kind of question, like, the defensive scheme that he runs. And I'm not going to go into the details of it, but I just wonder if it still works to the effectiveness that it had when he was in his heyday, because things have changed so much. And Kirk Cousins talked about this in detail in that viral mm-hmm. Clip that he had from his press conference about the way that defenses are disguising now and how much more difficult that makes life for quarterbacks. Maybe it would work really well. Maybe Bill Belichick has been doing that kind of thing. I'm not well-versed enough in his scheme and all that to really be able to tell. But that's one of the questions I do have.
Yeah, look, I don't think it's a realistic conversation, but I will say, as we'll transition to talking about the other games in the league today and earlier this week, if that whatever team were to hire him, he would face the same issue right now with the Falcons that he faced at the end of his time in New England and that Raheem and Arthur Smith before him faced here. They don't have a quarterback.
Right.
There's no quarterback.
Right.
They don't have a good answer at quarterback right now. And it's a more complicated situation here right now, too, because you have a first round guy who's hurt, who's going to be back next year, who's unproven, and you don't know who's the bridge if you need one. So, yeah, it's a really complicated spot, which is part of why it went so badly at the end in New England when Tom Brady left, was they just didn't have the quarterback position, right? And they lost a bunch of games because of it. Anyway, I know probably the game of the year in the NFL prior to Thursday night was the Bills Ravens week one. That was insane.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Seahawks Rams might have topped them on Thursday night football.
Yeah. I mean, that was insane. Andy, I turned the game off.
Fair enough.
I was not watching.
It was 30-14.
I did not see all of this happen.
It was 30-14. It was reasonable to turn the game off. It looked like Sam Darnold was Sam Darnolding.
I checked my phone again. I was like, what happened? I had to go back and then watch it all, basically everything that had transpired just through highlights and all that.
I'm so happy that I was, because the Hawks were playing at the same time in the first half, so it was kind of switching back and forth. And then I kind of locked in and was really watching closely because it was, you know, it was a pretty good game. And then the Rams started pulling away. I'm so glad that I was as attentive to what was happening as I was.
Yeah.
Because seeing that 2-point conversion live and then watching the way it transpired and played out, and they called it a 2-point conversion because it was a backwards pass that bounced off a guy's head. Charbonnet had no idea that the ball was, because it wasn't live. The ball was blown. The play was blown dead.
Yeah.
And he just picked it up.
Yeah.
He could have just as easily not picked it up.
Right.
Yeah, that was insane. Oh, by the way, as we look around the rest of the NFL, it's brought to you by Hatfield. Better pork. Head to simplyhatfield.com. That game was nuts.
Well, that was the game of the year in the NFL for about, 2 days, 3 days?
Until last night?
Yeah.
Until the Bears-Packers?
I mean, that Bears-Packers game, I don't know. What would you say it was more unlikely? I think it was, just because the weather conditions were not really conducive for the quick scores that the Bears ultimately got in that game. Obviously, you know, with the Packers out, Jordan Love, who was knocked out with concussion, kind of made it easier for them to get the ball back in certain circumstances. But, I mean, they were covering an onside kick in order to give themselves a chance to go down and score a touchdown, send that game to overtime. Just an incredible game. And I just can't get over just the transformation that Ben Johnson's made there in Chicago.
Yep. And I know that that's one that, you know, sort of similar timelines, young quarterback, stuff like that. Yeah. I know that that's a situation that Falcons fans look at and they're like, damn, they did it quick.
And the Bears were like known as kind of being like a flaky team.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of similar to the frustrations that Falcons fans have had watching their team. And now they look solid, resilient in some of these situations, able to come back when it feels like, you know, it's all over. And it certainly probably should have been. Packers should have put that game away. But just it feels like a totally different demeanor among the fan base and that team right now.
Well, they did such a smart thing, too. They invested, because they have a rookie quarterback, they're able to kind of be more financially committed to spots that otherwise you wouldn't. And they threw a bunch of money at the offensive line. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, Drew Dolman they got from here and paid him to be the center and drafted some guys and signed a guard
from the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Who's an all-pro.
I forget his name. I mean, they really spent money on solidifying the interior of that offensive line, and it's worked.
Yeah.
And Caleb Williams is playing great.
Yeah, like, he is.
He's really come along and playing much better football. That pass he threw last night was in the air so long, he put his hands in his hand warmer. Before DJ Moore caught the ball. Well, he threw the ball from the 50 or however far back he was. And then while it was in the air, he's like, I'm cold. Put his hands in his hand warmers while he caught the pass in the end zone, which is insane.
I forget who it was who caught it, but that pass at the end of regulation into the corner.
Uh-huh.
Like, it was the guy was wide open. And Caleb throws that ball like even more perfect than it even needs to be, to the point where you were wondering whether the guy was going to get his feet in bounds. But that was a perfect throw.
Perfect throw. Jahdae Walker. And then the celebration was great, too. I don't know what you call that. It was like a front-facing moonwalk or something. Yeah. I don't know. But that thing was awesome what that guy did after he caught that touchdown. So, there's already been some really great games this week. Some of the other fun ones to keep an eye on today, outside of, obviously, Falcons and Cardinals. Chargers, Cowboys, kind of, not really. Cowboys kind of came back down to earth. Chiefs are eliminated and they're playing the Titans. That sucks. The Bengals and Dolphins.
Ooh,
you're going to get Quinn Ewers and sad Joe Burrow. Maybe Joe can be happy after this one.
It's the sadness is bizarre.
Jets and the Saints. God, there's some stinkers, man. 1 o'clock man.
Vikings and Giants.
Good Lord. Now the Bucks and the Panthers.
I'm looking for a team with winning records. I guess all the good teams get flexed into these primetime games.
I know.
They have on
Dude,
Saturdays.
The 1 o'clock window on Sundays has become like barren. Like you watch you watch Red Zone in the first window, and the Falcons are often in it. That's tough.
By far, the best 1 o'clock game is the Bucks Panthers.
Yeah, Bucks Panthers.
Both teams at 7-7.
This one's in Charlotte. In a couple weeks, they'll play in Tampa. They're both 7-7, and they play two of the final three games, basically for the division.
It's probably the one game that Falcons fans can't stand to actually sit down and watch these two teams.
Yeah, at least the Saints aren't in it, right? Like if there's one saving grace, right. At least the Saints are out of it too. Yeah. But yeah, the Jags and Broncos is a good one. That's at 4:05 on Fox. Jags are 10-4. Broncos are 12-2. So it'll be interesting to see how the Jaguars look against that defense. They put up 50 last week against the Jets, who are terrible.
I feel like the Jags are the sneakiest 10-4 team in the NFL right now.
I agree with them being a sneaky 10-4. There's a couple sneaky 10-4s though. Like the 49ers are 10-4 with all the injuries that they've dealt with.
Yeah.
The Chargers are 10-4 as well with everything that they've been through. Like there's some really impressive coaching going on in the league with those teams that we just named.
Yeah.
Lions and Steelers play at 4:25 today, both 8-6. Both need that one.
Yeah, both important game for both those teams. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially the Lions with what the Bears did.
And then Sunday night you got the Patriots and Ravens, and the Ravens need that one too.
Yeah.
At 7-7 and Lamar's banged up. So it's pretty good action. Pretty good action as always on Sundays, but some fun matchups in the Monday night game is the 49ers and the Colts. Phillip Rivers will make a home start
against Robert Saleh at a 49ers defense. That's going to be fascinating to see because, he was able to kind of get his way through that game against the Seahawks last week. I think this is going to be a much more difficult test for him.
I just hope they can protect him.
I know. You don't want to see a
keep
death.
Keep the old man healthy. Right. All right. Hour number one in the books on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. We'll come back and get back into the Falcons and Cardinals. Joe's got an injury report for us, so don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, Join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.